This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Welcome to the historic episode 250. It's just a round number. What did you watch this week, Mike?
My name's John, but yeah, it's not really historic. I mean, yeah, it kind of is because it sounds really cool to say, yeah, we've done 250 MFN episodes of this show.
Yeah, but we have.
But ultimately, it means nothing. We're not going to get a new sponsor. We're not going to suddenly become famous. I assume.
Not because of this, at least.
Right, right. Not because we reached 250. But.
Yep. So.
So, Mike.
Yeah.
How you doing?
I'm all right. You know, stuff and things. How about yourself?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Things and stuff for sure.
Nice. Fantastic. Yep. So I have a note here that This Is Us was coming back on February 2nd, but apparently it's not coming back until February 9th. So that's why I didn't watch it. It didn't show up on my thing.
I did not watch anything related to that.
Well, I watched some shows and I watched some movies and I have things to talk about.
I am in the exact same boat, my friend.
Sweet. Let's get going. I actually watched
four movies this week, so yeah.
I watched seven.
Okay.
I checked out that show, I Hate Susie, on HBO Max.
Yeah.
I hate that show.
Yeah. The first episode seemed like a good premise. Then I watched the second episode, and I went, wow, I don't think I want to watch this anymore.
Yeah. Same, strong same.
I mean, she's a horrible person.
Absolutely, yeah. I like Billy Piper. Well, I liked her in Doctor Who. I can't say I've liked anything else I've seen her in.
Right, exactly.
I'm just not going to bother watching anymore. I got too annoyed. Like, I got annoyed with the show. I obviously have not experienced what she experienced, which was someone hacking into my phone and putting inappropriate pictures of me out on the internet for the world to see. But at the same time, I also haven't cheated on my spouse and taken photos of it.
Right.
Not that anyone would hack into my phone, but you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. And it's not that it's not relatable, because I get what you're saying, like the premise isn't relatable, but at the same time, it's just not entertaining. Like, I already don't like her as a character.
Right.
And the second episode, she's a piece of shit.
And she's the main character. And so that's the one we're supposed to relate to or
pull
not
for.
Even relate to, but just pull for, something like that. And I can't even pull for her on this.
Nope, me either. Good. Yeah, I don't think I'm going to keep watching it either.
Yeah. I also checked out another new show on HBO Max called The Head.
The Head?
Yep, The Head. It's not about getting head. It's not about going to the head.
I don't recognize it.
It's on the HBO Max. It's actually a Spanish-made English-language mystery television series that was broadcast in Spain last June, and then it got picked up for HBO Max, picked it up for over here. So they're calling it a Max original, but is it really, you know?
Right.
Six episodes. I've already watched the first two, and I'll give you the synopsis, which is winter has fallen in the South Pole. The sun will soon disappear for the next 6 months. A small team known as the Winterers will remain at the Polaris 6, our Antarctic research station, to continue their innovative research, a crucial part in the fight against climate change, under the command of renowned biologist Arthur Wild. Basically, when the spring people show up, everyone's dead but one person.
Okay.
And so it's a mystery to figure out what the hell happened. My favorite part of the movie, or of the show so far, is in episode one, where the Winterers take over and they're sitting there watching the movie The Thing. And one of the girls who's new that year is like, why are we watching this? This is terrible. And the other guy's like, it's a hazing ritual for the new people. Just sit there and shut up, or something like that. Yeah. Like, I don't know. I thought it was funny because they're watching, you know, The Thing.
Right.
Otherwise, so far, I've enjoyed the show. Here's a weird thing that happened, though. When the first episode got over, you know how it usually automatically played the second episode unless you tell it not to?
Tends to be the way, yeah.
I just let it roll and said, I just let it play again. And it's playing again, and I'm watching it, but I'm also kind of like doing something else. So I'm half watching, but I am paying attention. And I'm just like, man, this seems familiar. What's wrong? So finally, about halfway through, embarrassingly enough, 20 minutes plus in, I decided to stop it to be like, why the fuck are we watching a recap of the light? It started playing the first episode again.
I'm glad you added the embarrassingly so part, because
it started playing the first episode again, and I thought, I guess I need to pay attention better. So I did finish it, and then I watched the second episode as well. So I do enjoy it.
Okay, that's cool.
I don't recognize anybody in it because it's a foreign show, but they are speaking English. And they speak a couple other languages in the show as well, but those are subtitled. But, I do give it a recommend.
Okay. That's cool.
Yeah. All right. So there was no rookie on this week, correct?
Correct.
We had no rookie. We had no This Is Us. The Conners was funny. I'm really enjoying Harley Quinn. Like, I'm almost done
season
one. Yeah, I'm almost done season one. And I kind of wish we could get more adult-themed superhero cartoons like this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like a Deadpool one.
Yes. Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would work. Or a Wolverine one, even.
Yep. I could see a Wolverine one.
Yeah. But, I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Good. I got to tell you, I hate saying this. I really do.
Yeah.
But I legitimately have to say, you gave up on the flight attendant too early.
Oh, did I?
Remember how I told you, like, oh, this episode that I watched was pretty good. You know, it actually went into this and this and this. Yeah. I was right there with you. I was ready to give up because her character sucked. And she was doing the whole, you know, oh, I'm Nancy Drew or whatever. And basically when you stopped is when that stopped happening. The last three episodes, because I actually watched the second of the last episode this week, and then I was like, fuck it, I got to see the last one. I watched all of it, and it turned out really well. Like, okay. I enjoyed it quite a bit. The mystery actually did take a few twists and turns. I can absolutely see where it would continue on in a second season with these same characters, because things just opened up like, holy shit. Honestly, like, if you ever feel like killing some time, you basically, I think you got through five episodes.
Yeah.
If you want to push through, I don't think you'll be disappointed. Like, some of the flashbacks and some of the reasoning behind her alcoholism really fucking sucked. And,
So who killed him?
That's the funny thing. Like, in the sixth episode where I was like, you know, hey, this was really good. Actually, maybe that was the fifth episode. I don't know how far you got now that I'm thinking about it. But anyway, she meets up with Miranda. Miranda didn't kill him. It was actually Buckley, the drunk bum guy that was hanging out with her in New York, her hookup, her one night stand.
Yeah.
But it goes beyond that, because he was a paid hitman like Miranda was, and he was just supposed to kill the guy, but he kind of started obsessing about Kaylee Cuoco's character. So he's been stalking her this whole time. And like, he killed the FBI agent that was tailing her just to get her, you know, to keep him off her back. And yeah, it was beyond just that. But then he still tries to kill her in the end because, you know, he's like, fuck it. I know you're not going to be with me. It was good.
Cool.
The male flight attendant that they had there, the one who was a little bit over the top. Yeah. He came to her rescue in the end because he's actually CIA. And he had been keeping an eye on Rosie Perez's character because Rosie Perez's character, of course, was stealing secrets from her husband's company that he found out about and selling them to the Chinese market and committing international espionage. So he had been tasked with keeping an eye on her, which is why he was undercover as a flight attendant.
Ah, so he was there coincidentally then.
Yeah. And and then Rosie Perez's character, like, she's on the run now. She took a flight to Rome with everybody else, and now she's on the run, left a flash drive and some money with her husband and her son and said, you know, I'm sorry, I'll make this right. Yeah. But she also told Kaylee Cuoco's character what was going on with her. So now she's embroiled in that, and she's talking to the CIA guy, and he's like, wait a minute, you know what's going on? And they kind of ended like that. So, yeah.
Well, I guess I'm glad it got better.
Yeah. Yep.
You know what I thought got worse this week?
Ooh, what's that?
Superstore.
Yeah, it was back to not being that good.
It was back to just, I don't care about when everyone's being neurotic.
Yes. Yes, yeah, it was another full neuroses episode.
Yeah, like Sandra's adopted son, who's a full-on adult. Tony starts his first day there, and Tony and Glenn and Sandra are being over the top about it, and they ask Jonah to help train him, and Tony's apparently an idiot, and so Jonah gets more and more annoyed with him because he's slacking off. He's putting beer in the freezer, and all the bottles are exploding because they're freezing, and on and on and on.
But why is he doing that? Because ice cold beer is a thing, man.
Yeah, that's right. Ice cold beer is a thing. So when Jonah's trying to take everything out of the freezer quickly, Tony gets too close and Jonah actually hits him with a case of beer. And then Jonah gets accused of child abuse and on and on and on. And then he has kind of a crush on this girl that works at like the jewelry counter, I'm just going to say, or cosmetic counter. And so he kind of asks her out and she's like, oh, I'm a lesbian. And then Jonah does his more neurotic, I'm cool with lesbians thing. And then Cheyenne asks Mateo for advice on being the floor supervisor because Mateo is being a dick, and he just continued to be a dick. It was just,
But Cheyenne is actually crushing it as floor supervisor. I thought she was doing a great job.
Oh, no, she's doing a great job. Absolutely, yes. But I had a lot of issues with this episode.
Well, how about Garrett and Dina?
Oh, God. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, basically they're resolving last week's awkward encounter by saying, I'm going to tell my boyfriend about it. And he's like, no, don't do that. So she does. And they decide that they're going to be in an open relationship because, you know, he can't always be around. He wants her needs to be met.
Yeah.
So then they're interviewing Garrett about it. They're like, you're going to be our extra.
Yeah. And Dina being Dina, she's just like, oh, and I have a doctor's appointment for you to get STDs and to get, you know, tested and on and on. It was just, it was dumb.
Yep.
It was just unrealistic, and neurotic, and dumb. And I'll watch next week's episode, but...
Yeah.
You know what was good this week?
What's that?
For comedy series, The Unicorn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I enjoyed this episode.
It was another one. I feel bad when they do this, but like Natalie Zia's character, you know, she's off screen because they didn't sign her up for a full season. So.
Correct. Yeah, we just get Forrest and Delia playing tennis with each other. And Delia's really good, and Forrest always let her win back when they first met. And now they're going to play again because Delia's jealous of the puppy love relationship that Wade's in with Shannon.
Right.
And of course, Forrest and Delia being who they are, they go overboard and make everyone come watch them play, and they're going to wreck each other. And they're both equally not good, but good enough that they give each other a run for their money type of thing.
Yep.
So And the other B story is Wade's oldest daughter. Can't think of her name.
I can't either. I Grace. Never really noticed Grace. Their names.
Grace and Natalie. Grace is 15, so she's taking driving lessons. She has her permit to get her license. And Wade tries to teach her how to drive and doesn't do too well. Then Ben tries to teach her how to drive and doesn't do too well. And then Michelle.
She's a control freak.
Right. And then Michelle kills it. And
except Michelle gives her all this advice that's like, you know, oh, yeah. And then you're going to grow up and this is going to suck and this is going to suck.
Yeah. And she doesn't want to grow up because she's like, things are going too fast. I kind of want to be a kid. And why do things have to change so much? And Wade's like, because it does. Because it does. So that's what's going on there. I enjoyed it, though. I really enjoy the show. I dig it a lot.
It's funny. That's one of those shows where, like, I didn't sell you on it. I was just like, oh, I'm watching this show. And then you discovered it and were like, holy crap, I love this show.
Yeah. Yeah. I discovered it on Netflix. And then now I look forward to watching it every week. Fun half hour show.
Yep. So you were about to ask me what I thought of Zoe's Extraordinary Playlist.
Yeah. And we're going to get Zoe this week.
Well, here's the thing. This was a heavier episode. I was very glad that they didn't completely overdo the Zoe took drugs storyline.
Right.
They overdid it, but they didn't completely overdo it. Like, sure. I expected it to last the entire episode, but, you know, they had her sober up by later on the next day. And
So Zoe's on a day off and her new Australian speaking boyfriend. They
is
take
he really a boyfriend, though?
Neighbor who she hangs out with now. He gives her drugs, some sort of unmarked pill that's a hallucinogen. And her boss,
Danny Michael Davis.
Danny Michael Davis, thank you. He gets himself off of house arrest and shows up at Spark Point to be himself, and then he's trying to find Zoe, and he calls her, and he's just I like how he doesn't trust phones.
Yeah.
To us on purpose. We build phones. Yeah, I know, it's ironic. He goes, they tracked my phone. That's how they got me and you know, tried to arrest me and arrested me and everything. And he's like, where are you? And she's like, you know what, never mind. I pinged your phone and I found a job. I'll be right there. And then he shows up and then he finds out that they're on drugs, and so he's like, I don't have to piss test anymore, give me drugs. And they all trip. And he decides that he's going to sell Spark Point and take the private jet and go travel in the world. She kind of talks him out of it.
Yep.
The other story is...
This was the more serious... Well, no, there's two more stories.
Yeah.
There's the mom... Basically, the guy asked mom out on a date, and now we see that the ramifications of it were that she shot him down, and now he's being a dick about it.
Yes.
Which you expect in younger people, but he's older. You know, you'd think that he'd be beyond that in his life, but no, he's definitely a dick about things. So, he's kind of edging her out and being a prick and copping attitude. So the sister there, who I can't think of her name, she dumps fertilizer in his car and a cactus to represent
Emily's sister.
Yeah.
Yeah, the sister-in-law.
To represent what a prickly dick he is.
Yep.
And,
Jenna. Her name's Jenna.
Jenna, there you go.
Yeah.
And he doesn't like that.
Nope. And he's like, either I'm going to fire you to Zoe's mom, or you need to fire her. And so she quits and fires Jenna because she can't have someone doing that. And so Jenna leaves, which I guess I thought by the end they would like make it work, and they don't, which was surprising.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they kind of came back around, but at the same time, they it was to come back around and say, we're still friends, but you know, I'm still not hiring you back. We're still not going to
be business partners. Yeah.
Yep.
And then the third storyline was evolving Max. And his dad is a dentist, and they can't find someone to help finance their Max and Moe's idea. And he tries to get his dad to finance it by believing him. And his dad eventually decides he's going to go ahead and just give him the money. So we can try. And Max is like, oh good, I'm glad you believe in this. He's like, ah, believe in it. If you lose it, it's a tax write off. No big deal. I have it to lose or whatever. And so he won't take the money because his dad doesn't believe in him, which I understand that. I would have taken the money anyways.
Right.
Those are the two B stories.
No, there was a third B story.
What was the third one?
Actually, I would consider it the second A story.
Oh, yes. That would be a second A story. Yeah, go ahead with it.
Basically, Danny Michael Davis tells Simon, he's like, hey, by the way, we're having a little problem with the chirp. It can't recognize the faces of people of color. And this is where it got a little heavier, because basically this was, you know, he took aside his girlfriend who writes for Wired and Mo and was like, hey, yeah, so the chirp is basically racist. And they're like, yeah, we see that kind of stuff all the time. You know, they're both giving him advice. And Mo's like, you should just quit. And his girlfriend's like, no, like, you have a chance. You have a voice in this company. You could actually sit on that board of directors someday and make a real difference. And Mo's like, yeah, but that's someday. And that's maybe. Like, right now, he's just supposed to, you know, put up with their ideals and their bullshit and toe the line, essentially. So he has a choice to make. And he goes in and basically stands in front of the entire crowd and calls them all out on it. You know, he says it can't see black faces, and that's because everybody that runs this company is a white person, and most of them are men. There's only two women, but other than that, there's no people of color, and this is ridiculous. And that's basically where the episode ends.
Yeah, I'm curious what is going to happen from that point. That was pretty amazing. Yeah. What else did you watch this week, sir?
Prodigal Son continues to be great. I'm glad that I stuck with it. Michael Sheen is just fucking phenomenal. Let's see. Trying to see things that you didn't watch. Boy, there's not a lot. So Prodigal Son. So I watched the first episode of season 3 of The Sinner on Netflix.
Oh, I watched that too.
The one with Matt Bomer this time.
Yep. What'd you think of it?
I thought it was great. I remember really liking the first season and not really liking the second season. And this one looks more first season-ish.
Yeah, it does seem like more of like what first season was.
And already, like, the mysteries are piling up on top of each other. The thing that I love about the way that this show is laid out is they tell you what happened right off, but you don't know why, and you don't know all the specifics of it. Like, we don't know what the artist woman there, what her tie is to this, but she definitely has some kind of tie to this.
She most absolutely does.
And you've got he basically let him bleed out for an hour before he made the 911 call. Why would he be stupid enough to wipe down the phone and turn it off?
I'd say panic, but he seemed like he wasn't panicking at all.
No.
And now he's seeing his friend.
We don't know what his friend had on him. Like, you would think at first that it was like they were lovers, but then he basically comes right out and tells his wife that, yeah, we tried that in college. It didn't work. Neither one of us really liked it. So we didn't do that anymore. So perhaps it's a murder that they were covering up. Who knows? But his friend had that puncture in his hand that was unexplained.
And then his buddy also had a puncture in his hand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of interesting because, all right, here's what's so Jamie, that's Bomer's character. His name's Jamie or James, whatever. Jamie Burns. Yep. Yeah. Him and his wife, who is very pregnant. He's
a week away.
A teacher at a high school or college, maybe? What do you think it is? High school or college?
I think, the girls seem young enough to be high school.
It's like a private high school with uniforms and everything.
Yes. Yes. I would definitely give it that.
They were living in Queens. Now they're living up in upstate New York, Rochester area, I believe what it is, where it is. And our hero, Harry Ambrose, the grizzled detective from the first two seasons, relocated here himself. Now that's where he's a lieutenant detective police officer. And I liked
in a house that's out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, he has no cell service in his house. He has to walk up by the tree to get two bars so he can talk to someone. I like the other detective who's like the sergeant detective who, like, at first looks like he's kind of horning in on his case. But in reality, he's like, I just want to learn from you. Like, you can always learn. And I thought it was interesting because he doesn't seem to have an ego. Like, when he didn't think of something that Harry thought of, he was like, oh, okay, yeah, I'll call and get them to check that for prints straight away type of thing. You know, like, it was – I liked it much better than a dick-waving contest type of thing.
Right.
So Jamie and his wife are making dinner, and Jamie's college friend Nick shows up unexpectedly, and clearly there's tension between the two of them.
Yeah.
And Jamie's wife invites him to stay for dinner, and then it's very awkward at dinner when Nick appears to have a secret he wants to talk about, but Jamie doesn't want to talk about it, and it's just Nick's being an asshole, and so when you see him dead later, you don't feel bad. You feel like, he had it coming. Yeah. And we see the accident was caused because Nick and Jamie are driving down this long dirt road to a house that there's only one house on the road. So there's only one house they could be going to down this long dirt road or driveway or whatever.
Right.
And you see Nick and Jamie are having some tension in the car, and then Nick steps on it and he's driving way too fast. And Jamie wants to get out. He doesn't want to go to this person's house, or he doesn't be involved in it. I'm going to jump out of the car, just stop the car. And when Nick speeds up instead of stopping, Jamie pulls the parking brake, and that's what causes the crash.
Yep.
Yeah. And, So we don't know who she is, why they were going there. We don't know more of their backstory. So I look forward.
She definitely has a reaction when she looks at the picture, though.
Yes. Yes, she did. Yeah. So far, this season is definitely better. And I only watched one episode, but you're right. I enjoyed season one. Season two was okay. But so far, I like this season better.
Yep.
I like the story better, at least the way it's starting, than season two.
Yep, and Matt Bomer is awesome, so always got to give credit to him.
Okay. Another kick-ass show I watched this week, Resident Alien on Sci-Fi.
I'll let you describe it, but I just got to say real quick.
It's okay, go ahead.
I love the direction that they went with the kid by the end of the episode.
Yeah, the one kid that can actually see him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Max, that's his name on the show. Yeah, he. It's funny because the show opens with Max is there for like a toothache, or he doesn't feel good, and he runs out screaming. And his dad is the mayor, and his dad's like, you know what? Just you can stay with me at the office. If you're not feeling good, then we'll take you then. Fast forward later on, Alan Tudyk's character, Harry. He decides that he's gonna take Max's bike and rig it so the brakes don't work, so that way he crashes and dies.
Mm-hmm.
And when he crashes and only gets a cut on his arm, he seems to be disappointed, but he goes in and stitches the kid up. And I love like where the kid decides he's not going to be afraid of him.
Right.
And he's going to expose him because he's talking – like earlier in the episode, one of the police officers, one of the deputies like does a criminal, like a sketch artist drawing for him because that's what she's good at.
Yep.
And like basically believes him. And it's like, well, then you need to let other people know about this alien. And he's like, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And it was kind of crazy because, you know, Harry is being seen by him as the alien. And he's just talking to him. He's like, looks like you're going to need some stitches. And he lets it slip that it was a bike accident. And Max, like, how'd you know it was a bike accident? Oh, a lucky guess, I guess.
Yeah.
And now you're going to be – and his dad's like, no, you be a good boy. I just – because his dad, like, can't be there while it's happening. It's like it's making him sick to see the blood or the stitches or whatever. And he's like, yeah, I'll be good. No, I'm not going to be good. I'm going to let everyone know who you are. And so he like throws the Novocaine away and he's like, I guess we're going to do this without Novocaine. I guess so. Like, I enjoyed the hell out of the 11-year-old standing up to him.
Yeah, because I was worried, like, in the first episode and then into this one, that we were just going to constantly see, like, Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner with him trying to kill this kid.
Yeah, but me too.
This took a great twist because now you basically got Alan Tudyk versus an 11-year-old. Love it.
Yeah, I can get behind that. So throughout the episode, we find that there's some sort of mineral or stone or something that's on Earth that he finds like in a cave, and he takes it and he makes a device out of it that causes, like, after he constructs this thing, he makes like a plain black disc, but yet there's some sort of magnetism to it where it makes things levitate over it.
Yes.
And we see that near the end of the episode, and it ties into the cold open of this hiker that falls off this mountain thing, and he lands. He looks like he lands on something like that's invisible. And at first I'm thinking, did he land on his spacecraft somehow? But I thought that tore up, like, but we don't know what happened to him. And then when we see him make this thing out of this rock, that's going to help him find his ship and blow Earth up once he gets his, you know, device. We cut back to two other hikers finding this guy that we saw at the beginning, but now he's skeletal remains and he's still kind of hovering in the air, and there's a couple birds there with him. And then we see that the snow has been melting away, and there's a very large version of that little, like, 4-inch black disc he made that's, you know, big enough to levitate or prevent a human from falling on the ground and not be able to move and everything.
Right.
So
I like that the corpse of that guy was there all desiccated from being up there for months. But then there were also like a couple of birds that were stuck.
Yes. Yep. What was one of the other storylines there? The nurse being very sad about the doctor and going through a Native American ritual of cutting her hair and burning their clothes and burning the hair to help
get rid of her abusive boyfriend stuff.
Oh, abusive boyfriend.
Okay, yeah, because remember, he's a very abusive guy. So she was cleansing that, but also like she was thinking back on how her and the doctor really got along. He was like a father figure to her because she never had, like, the guy who is her father took her in, but her real dad and mom took off. And
you know, when Harry's there, she doesn't let him go into Sam's office.
Yep.
But decides, you know, this, I got to let it go. This is your office. She has a problem when the old doctor's wife shows up to, like, take her below what she says now are my belongings, her dead husband's stuff. And she's like, no, this is a crime scene. And
right.
But I enjoy the show. It's funny. It's got a very interesting story. It's got Alan Tudyk being funny. So, you know, we're good.
Yes. Agreed.
Oh, I love some of the flashback footage. It was only for like a minute, but we got of him learning to like be a human and how to make the body work. Like, he just couldn't instantly brush his teeth or pick up stuff or understand how to do things. It took the 3 months he was in isolation, 4 months he was in isolation there, is how long it took him to be able to control the body he was in.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was so fun to watch him do that.
Yeah, because he talks about, oh, I can't just swap out to a new body now and have to relearn how to do all this with a new body. So it's like, but apparently it is possible for him to take on someone else's image, but he would have to then learn how to be a human again, if you will.
Right. Which is good to know because, now we know that he's not going to be just like body jumping constantly.
So there was two episodes on this past week, but we only watched one because this coming week there is no episode.
And I think that was a good idea so that we could have it spread out like that.
Yeah, that's definitely a show. If all the episodes were up back in the day, I would have binged it in a blink. But now it's like I want to make this one last.
Yeah, because this week there were not as many shows to watch.
Yeah, you know, quite frankly, I don't really have it doesn't bother me that that's an issue, that we don't have a ton of stuff that we're watching. Because, I mean, I still watch wrestling and I've been reading more, so.
Yes, me as well.
Lovecraft Country.
Ooh.
This was a great episode.
This was a great episode.
This episode took place in South Korea, and we meet Jia and who she is. And when we meet her, she is, you know, she's South Korean. Yep. She's studying to be a nurse. She lives with a very demanding mother who wants her to bring home men to have sex with.
Yep.
And we don't understand how. And essentially,
you assume that it's just because she wants her to get a rich husband so that she can get them out of, you know, the slums.
Yeah, exactly. But what we find out is that Jia is possessed by a kameo, which is a nine-tailed fox spirit.
Yep.
And she has to take the souls of 100 men so she can become human again. And she does that by having sex with them, and then her fox tails come out of her body and basically make the guy explode, which is just fucking crazy. Mm-hmm. But her mother doesn't – we basically find out, you know, like her mother doesn't look at this as being her daughter. She wants her to kill these 100 men so she can get her daughter back.
Yep.
And when she is having sex with these men and then her foxtails come out, she can actually see these men's past, what they've done. And then she holds their memories. Yep. And the reason why the mom called for the demon or whatever to possess her to begin with was because her husband, aka this girl's dad, was having sex with his daughter.
Yes.
Or sorry, her stepfather was raping her, and so yep. She went to the shaman who put the kameo to possess the daughter, and
It was a wonderful episode. I couldn't watch it while I was walking because a lot of it was subtitled. Because they were speaking Korean. And I tried. I got like 5 minutes in, and I was like, no, I need to actually sit down and watch this one. And I'm glad that I did because it was really good. It was really compelling. And again, we've talked before about things that they do where you set up a story, say the opening scene of a show, and then you get this opening scene that's like, what the hell's going on? And then suddenly you get 3 weeks earlier or 48 hours earlier.
Yeah.
And that sucks. That's a lazy storytelling premise. This, however, like we knew that he had had this relationship with someone in Korea back during the war. And so to take an entire episode right now in the middle of this season and show us that entire backstory. Perfect. I loved it. Loved every minute of
it. It worked out really, really well.
Yes.
You know, she becomes a nurse. One of her nurse friends is a communist spy.
Yep.
So they're dealing with communism over there. So it essentially, you know, the show does deal with a lot of racism, and there's a lot of racism going on in Korea even as well.
Tick and his friend have to teach her about that because she's like, oh, you bet you can't wait to go home. And they're like, yeah, we're not treated like this at home. She's like, what do you mean? Well, we're people of color.
Yeah. Yeah, I you know, because it was like, have you guys met? Because she loves Judy Garland and loves watching Judy Garland movies, and she hasn't seen a movie since the war started. And she's like, have you ever met Judy Garland? He's like, no. And back in the States, the only way I would meet her is if I was her chauffeur. And the other guy's like, yeah, and if I was her gardener. What do you mean? Yeah. But the army finds out about the way Gia meets Atticus is the army finds out that there's a communist spy among them. And they take the nurses because they figure it out when the information is being passed. And they already killed, or someone's already killed the doctor that the nurse was in cahoots with. And they take all the nurses and basically they line them up on their knees and start interrogating all of them. And they kill one of them and say, all right, you're going to tell us who it is or we're going to kill them too. Or we're just going to keep killing all of you till whoever, you know, fesses up. And so when the sergeant's gun jams, he yells for Atticus to come over, who comes over, walks over, pulls his gun out, and just shoots the girl in the head, who happens to be Gia's best friend. And that's how Gia meets Atticus. And not a great first introduction. The nurse, who's the communist, finally admits it's her. They drag her off. They kick all the other girls loose. Fast forward, we don't know what happened with her. She sort of disappears. Atticus is injured, and the nurse, Gia, she sees Atticus in the hospital where she works. And so she decides that she's going to seduce him and kill him, and this will be her last her 100th kill.
Right.
But she falls in love with him. We get a great love story. He, you know, basically tells how bad he feels about everything he's had to done, how much it haunts him, and this and that. So she refuses to take him. And so they're having an intimate relationship and they're in love with each other. And he gets basically told that he can either re-up or he can rotate back home.
Yep.
And he's like, come with me. She's like, I can't come with you. And she goes, but at the same time though, she says, but you can't stay here either, because this is a war zone. And so they go to have the sex one more time, and her tails come out and buckle onto him. And she basically sees a vision of his death if he returns to the United States.
Yep.
And Atticus is freaked out because he doesn't understand. Like, I have a feeling if they would have met now after everything he's seen and done, he probably wouldn't freak out so bad.
Right. Exactly. But back then he was just a normal GI.
So he kind of ends the relationship and runs off, and she's warning him, don't go back to the United States. Don't go back to America. You'll die. And that's kind of how the episode ends. Yep. I'm very excited to watch the next episode to see where we are, see what story we're going to get. Because we still don't know when, because Atticus is talking to her on the phone at the end of episode 5.
Yes.
And in episode 6, we get Jiha's backstory, but we don't get anything to do with them talking on the phone. So exactly. I'm really, really digging this. We've only got 4 more episodes, sadly.
Yep.
Other than WandaVision, is that all our shows?
No.
Okay.
Because we finished Lupin.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Because you watched 2 episodes. You were like, oh, I accidentally watched the 4th episode. And I'm like, well, I mean, there's only 5. We might as well just go all in.
Yeah. So what did you think of this at the end?
I know exactly what you're saying. And I agree that, you know, the main character is the Mary Sue type. You know, he always has the right answer. He's always in the right place. Sometimes it's really fun to watch. Like the final screw you to the guy on the train was fun to watch him do. But sometimes it's just over the top, like getting himself into prison and then getting himself out of prison by committing suicide, air quotes. That was a little much. But excuse me. Overall, I enjoyed this. I will say that last episode, it was very jarring that they had flashbacks, but they didn't really tell you that they were flashbacks, so it got confusing sometimes.
Yes, it did. It did, like, yes.
Him sitting down and talking to his wife in a very nice restaurant and her telling him that she was pregnant, and he's like, I'm going to be a dad, and I'm like, you're already a dad. And he's like, I'm going to be a dad, and I'm like, you're already a dad. And what if it's the guy that she's been sleeping? Oh, wait, this is a flashback.
Yeah,
oh,
okay. They weren't real clear on that. I kind of saw the same thing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the show. I think it's a good watch.
Yep.
It's well worth people's time. Then, you know, they ended it on a cliffhanger, but again, this is almost like a mid-season hiatus type of thing before we get the second half of this first season.
Right.
Where basically his son's been abducted.
Yes.
Because they go to a Lupin-themed festival.
And everybody's kind of dressed up like that. And, yep. I did enjoy this. I can't give it a super hard sell, but it's definitely something that I'll check out when the second season comes out. It was enjoyable. It was fun. What do you think? So the one cop there who this whole time has been saying, you know, oh, this guy's doing it based on Arsène Lupin. He shows up at the festival and meets up with him. Like, he's the first one to figure this all out. Do you think he's going to try to turn him in, or do you think he's going to try to help him?
I think he's more intrigued with what's going on than anything. Yeah. That's my opinion. I think he's a lot more intrigued with, how did you do all of this? What's going on? Is it really you? Did I actually, like, no one's believed me. Everyone's ridiculed me for my beliefs in this. Am I right?
Right. Yep.
Do we have any other shows besides WandaVision?
No, I think WandaVision's the last one.
Okay. We definitely got to save that.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So what movies did you watch?
Well, I watched, per your request, The Little Things.
Oh, okay. What'd you think?
I thought that was a long movie.
It was.
Wow. Yeah. That was another one of those movies. I can't remember what it was, the last one that I watched that was like that, but it was like, you know, I paused it. Oh, Outside the Wire.
Yeah.
You know, I paused it and I'm like, holy fuck, I'm only an hour into it. It feels like I've gone like 6 hours already. It was every 90s suspense thriller movie that ever came out.
Yeah, kind of. It really was kind of all wrapped into one.
Yeah, it's not saying it was bad. It was I've seen it before.
Yes. Yeah. It wasn't anything that really.
Denzel Washington was playing Denzel Washington. Yeah. I mean, he was the detective who never took a promotion. So he's just been working this beat, you know, like he wants to. And Rami Malek was the overzealous guy who, of course, you know, by the end is going to go off the rails.
Jared Leto was the overly method actor, really wrapped up in his character.
Yeah. And it was like an episode of Law and Order, because you knew he was going to be the killer, because when they go and interview all those guys, there's like no name, no name, no name. Oh, Jared Leto. Okay.
Well,
it's like watching Law and Order. And at the beginning you see the, you know, special guest star and you're like, oh
yeah, yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean, but I don't know if Jared Leto was actually the killer. That was one of the things that when you're watching the movie, they never really established if he was the actual killer or not, or if he was just legit. They talked about one of those crime enthusiasts that likes to insert themselves into the investigation for attention.
Yep.
I watched a new movie on Netflix called Below Zero.
I feel like I've seen a trailer for that. Maybe sent you a trailer for that.
Yeah, it's one of those, hey, you should watch it, you should watch it, you should watch it. It's like, fine, I will. It is, it's a Spanish movie.
Okay.
And basically, it's about a prisoner transport. They always do it in the middle of the night, so that way they can't so the prisoners don't know they're being transported, and they can't have everyone set up to try to rescue them or break them out or whatever, break them out of jail or whatever.
Yeah.
And essentially, there's a guy that wants one of the prisoners. He doesn't want him alive.
Okay.
And so it's kind of one of those, It's a form of a revenge flick. This guy wants to take out revenge on the person that wronged him or someone in his family. I don't want to give it away for anyone to see. It's only been out for like a week. it was decent. The ending was a little different than you'd expect. It was decent. I can't give it a hard sell, but I did enjoy it.
Well, that's something.
I watched Wheel of Fortune on Netflix. That's just dumb. Not the TV show, like Wheel of Fortune. This is called Wheels of Fortune.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear the S in there originally.
Yeah, to claim a big inheritance, a down on his luck mechanicus win a series of competitions is outlined in his birth father's will. The birth father is Jeff Fahey.
Okay.
And Matt Jones is the guy who's playing lead character. You know, he's one of those guys that's been in a shit ton of stuff, but I don't really recognize him from anything.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
He's a that guy.
Yeah, but anyways, he's basically kind of like a southern redneck. He's got a guy who's really good at driving a vehicle, but he didn't have the money to pay for his vehicles, but he can build them with someone else's money, so he's a mechanic for other people. And then his birth father, who he never met, who abandoned him, leaves this complicated inheritance where he has to win these races and these different competitions to claim his inheritance and on and on and on. So I enjoyed it. It wasn't, you know, there was some good comedy in it. Pretty formulaic story, but I enjoyed it. It's worth it. It's a great background movie. You can have it on while you're walking on the treadmill.
Okay.
Yeah. And everything else I watched is all old movies.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All old stuff, huh?
Yeah. Like I actually, so the wife and I, we went and had our overnight away without the kids, where it's just the two of us. And we, what we like to do is kind of after we get some food or whatever, is crash in the hotel, find a movie on the TV and just kind of kick back and watch it.
Okay.
Limited channels that we have options to. So we kind of got in the room a little early because of weather. And The Sitter was on one of the HBO channels that we had. You ever remember watching that with Jonah Hill?
Yes. Yes,
I did. His version of Adventures. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Kate had never seen it. I haven't seen it since it came out in 2011. It was funny.
Yeah.
And then after that on Sci-Fi, we watched Twister, which I haven't seen in forever. And that came out in 96. You know, Bill... was that Paxton or Pullman?
Paxton.
The dead one. Paxton, yeah. And Helen Hunt, and they're storm chasers.
Yep. Yeah, because Bill Pullman's in The Sinner.
Yeah, yeah. And then then the next morning, because we just kind of hung out of the room in the morning for a while, too, The Hard Way was on with James Wood and Michael J. Fox.
Yep.
So James Wood is a tough New York City detective, and Michael J. Fox is playing a Hollywood actor who is shadowing him so he can help for the method act for this role he has upcoming. And I watched this movie. I haven't seen it in forever, but I remember watching it at least once. And it was one of those movies where, like, I kind of remember what happened, but not really. And I kind of enjoyed it. And then I looked and I saw that it came out 30 years ago.
And you felt old.
Oh, my God, did I feel old. Yes. Yes, I did feel old. Yeah. And then Saturday night, I watched New Jack City on HBO. And again, I was like, I was just looking through the movies. And I'm like, New Jack City, when did that come out? 30 years ago? That also came out in 1991. And it's like, how is this possible? How is it like these two movies like came out 30 years ago? Like, it's just, it is, like, I don't know. I remember watching them as a kid, which I realized I'm 41, so that was a long time ago, but still. And I haven't seen New Jack City since. I mean, I didn't watch it when it first came out. I watched it a couple of years afterwards when it was on HBO, and my brother really, really liked it a lot. So we probably watched the movie, like, you know, 50 times. So as I'm watching it, remembering all these little scenes and sayings and everything in it, and it's a Mario Van Peebles flick. And, I don't know. It's an interesting movie. It takes place in 1989. It's about the crack cocaine pandemic and epidemic, or whatever you want to call it, in New York City at that time. And undercover police and bad guys and people getting shot. And I don't know. It was enjoyable.
Nice.
And then the last movie I watched was one I've wanted to see for a long time, because I do enjoy different genres of movies. And this movie is given credit with the birth of the blaxploitation genre. And this movie actually came out in 1971, and it was Sweet Sweetback's Badass Song. It's directed by and starring Melvin Van Peebles. So I had a Van Peebles marathon.
I mean, is two movies a marathon?
Well, no. So, okay.
Oh boy!
This is where, well, I want to read this correctly. It was in what year? Let's see here. Oh, it's 71% fresh on Rotten Tomatoes, and it was selected by Library of Congress to be, you know, saved for its Oh, yeah. Importance goes beyond the historical filmmaking that had an impact on the social consciousness, culture, and political discourse remains indisputable. So anyways, I watch it. And I guess I get it. I didn't grow up then. Here we go. Culturally, historic, and aesthetically significant. In 2020, it was selected for preservation by the National Film Registry of the Library of Congress. Melvin Vivian Peebles doesn't talk a lot in the movie.
No.
Not at all. No. Essentially, his character, as a small child, he's 14, and he's played by 14-year-old, his son, Mario Van Peebles, plays 14-year-old Sweetback in this movie, where he's like a towel boy at a whorehouse, and he gets raped. I'm using quote fingers by one of the prostitutes there, where, like, all right, she legitimately gets completely buck naked and then strips 14-year-old, you know, Mario Van Peebles down naked, and then pulls him on top of her like that he's in the missionary position, and then he proceeds not to move, which I don't blame him. He's 14, and she just starts flailing her legs all around like it's the greatest sex she's ever had. That's the opening of the movie, and I'm like, what?
Wow.
Okay. Yeah, and then we cut to adult Melvin Van Peebles. His name is Sweet Sweetback, because apparently he has a giant penis, and that's all anyone wants. So this movie is full of sex, okay, and him being arrested by the police, and police brutality, and him being on the run from the police, and on and on and on. And it's just I'm glad I saw it.
Okay.
But I definitely will never watch it again, type of thing.
Well, and there are a lot of movies out there like that.
Yeah. I mean, I guess at the time when it came out, it was very significant based on the actor in it, the storyline in it. It was a self-financed movie, and then Bill Cosby gave him $50,000 to help finish filming it. It made like $15 million in the box office. People flocked to the box office to watch this movie because I'm assuming at that time there was nothing like this before that was in the movies. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I'm assuming that the storyline and what he represented in the film was something that was relatable to the audience that went to go see it. Clearly not relatable to me as a 41-year-old white guy.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I just wasn't a big fan.
Okay. But
it's something I've been wanting to watch for a very long time, so I'm glad I could finally scratch that itch, if you will.
Gotcha.
And watch it.
Okay.
What are the other movies you watched?
So I watched Space Sweepers.
Oh, I want to watch that. Is it good?
It was okay. I mean, it's not bad, but it's like, it was very predictable. Had some cool scenes towards the end. Like, overall, it was an enjoyable movie, but it was like, I'm not going to sit here and hard sell you on it. If you really want to watch it, then absolutely, you're probably going to love it. But yeah, it's predictable. That's all I could say.
Yeah.
I also watched a couple of weirdo comedy ones, one on HBO Max called Super Intelligence. It's basically Melissa McCarthy plays this generic woman, Carol Peters. She's just average in everything. And this artificial intelligence that has become self-aware wants to study her to decide whether or not to enslave, save, or destroy humanity. Says, I have the power to do any of these. I could destroy everyone, I could enslave you all under me, or I could save you all from yourselves. But I haven't decided what I want to do yet. So it's decided it wants to study her. And it's funny. You know, the voice of the superintelligence is James Corden, because he basically says, yeah, I've gone through most of your social media and stuff, and it seems like this voice is something that will really soothe you. You seem to like this voice. But yeah, he shows up in everything, you know, connected coffee makers and smart TVs and phones and everything. Yeah, it was enjoyable. It was funny. Had some good laughs in it. One of those that has like a lot of different stars in it. You know, Jean Smart plays the president. Octavia Spencer's in there as Octavia Spencer's voice. Bobby Cannavale.
Yeah.
So yeah, there's a number of good people in there. It's good for a laugh. Another one that I watched was called Like a Boss. It's got Rose. Oh God, I was about to say Rose McIver, but it's not her. Rose Byrne and Tiffany Haddish as these two friends who own a makeup shop, and they're barely getting by. They're kind of losing their money, but they have this one product that's really popular with all their people, and this world famous Dolce and Gabbana kind of person is played by Salma Hayek, and she comes in and wants to buy them out. So she buys like a big stake in their company, like 49% of their company, but puts a clause in there that if anything ever happens to their friendship and they break up as friends, then she gets to take over the company. So of course, you know where that's going, and you know what's going to happen. And you know, of course, that it's going to have a happy ending because it's a comedy. So very predictable, some good laughs. I never have to see it again.
Sounds exciting.
Yep.
All right, news and trailers then?
Yeah, news and trailers.
What you got?
So, let's see. I kept track of the trailers as ones that you sent and ones that I sent.
Sure.
The first one that I sent was one called Behind Her Eyes, coming to Netflix. Looks intriguing. Bit of a thriller. Looks like there's some murder, some lust, you know. It'll be good for a fun whodunit kind of thing, I think.
Yeah, it looks kind of intriguing. I sent you a trailer for Crime Scene, The Vanishing at the Cecil Hotel.
Yes, you did.
That looks really good.
Yeah.
My wife's very excited about that. So that comes out, I think, Wednesday or Friday or something like that. It comes out this week.
Yep.
I'm pretty sure the Cecil... Yeah, it's a documentary series on Netflix. I'm pretty sure the Cecil Hotel was what American Horror Story... Hotel season was based on.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Then you sent me another one that I don't know if I trust M. Night Shyamalan again yet, but
M. Night Shyamalan ding dong. Yep. That's what I always say. I don't know why. Yeah. I just do. I'm not sure.
But that's for old.
Yeah, where these people are on some sort of island that makes everyone turn old on the island.
Well, it seems like they age rapidly. Like, her kid is there, and then...
Turn old.
Yeah. But not everybody. Like, she didn't seem to age. It was just her kid. But then other people started aging as well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, that's true, yeah.
And, of course, it's Shyamalan, so there'll be some kind of twist to it, you know... Friggin' it's a mosquito or something like that, or we're all living inside of a fly's egg sack. Who knows?
Wasn't it Men in Black where we all were living inside like a marble that was on the tag of a cat or some shit? Or some alien creature?
Close. There was a galaxy around the collar of the cat, but then at the end we see that our galaxy is a marble being shot by aliens.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
The Super Bowl gave us the first official trailer for The Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Yes. It looks great. But
it looks fucking awesome.
I didn't really need to be sold on watching that.
Same.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to watch it anyway. It's coming out in March, right after WandaVision gets done. So that'll be exciting. They would not show us who was dressed up in the Captain America / US Agent suit, because they're playing that one close to the vest, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But Baron Zemo's back.
Yep.
With the classic comic book mask. That's great. Definitely got some buddy cop vibes, you know, the rivalry still. I love the staring contest at the end where the woman's like, yeah, she's like, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. Hey, one of you blink.
Yeah. How old are you? I like how Bucky just kind of like, eh.
Yeah.
Because he's old.
He is. No, I thought it looked, the trailer looks fantastic. Definitely looks a lot darker than WandaVision, but WandaVision got a little dark in this episode.
Correct.
So, I'm excited about it.
The last trailer came out last night. You've seen it. I've seen it. It's called Nobody.
Yeah.
I want to see this.
I want to see it too.
Bob Odenkirk. It looks like it's not a full on comedy. It's an action movie, but it's like a comedic take on a Jason Statham kind of thing, or Liam Neeson's.
Basically, it's Bob Odenkirk plays is an underestimated and mild-mannered family man described as being unresisting to the life's hardships. One night when two thieves break into a suburban home, he declines to defend himself or his family, hoping to prevent any serious complications. His son and his wife were disappointed, and they start to drift away from him, and the incident ignited his resentment towards being an unsubstantial father and husband, thus awakening his suppressed skills and illuminating his dark secrets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So basically, he's made himself a nobody. It's almost like a comedic version of A History of Violence.
Yes. Yep. But again, not a straight up comedy like, comedic movie, but just like dark humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited. It looks good. Yeah. And I love him as an actor.
Me too.
You hardly ever see him in a starring role. I mean, Better Call Saul, yes. But like when it comes to movies and stuff, you never really see him as the lead. He was great as Marshall's boss in How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, he was. He most certainly was. But I'm looking forward to it.
So that's it for trailers. Mm-hmm. You got some news?
Not really.
Oh. You said you had stuff to talk about.
No, I don't. No, I didn't.
Sad.
I did. I talked about movies and stuff.
Okay. So the CW, out of the blue, renewed 12 of their shows, some of which haven't even aired yet.
Okay.
So, The Flash, Batwoman, DC's Legends of Tomorrow.
Okay.
All got renewed. Walker has already been renewed, and they've ordered additional episodes of it. Superman and Lois received 2 additional episodes this season, bringing its total up to 15. They haven't renewed it yet, but they're going to. And then a bunch of other ones like Charmed, All American, Dynasty, In the Dark, Legacies, Nancy Drew, Riverdale, Roswell, New Mexico. They just basically one day they were like, oh, everything's renewed. Except for Supergirl. Bye, Supergirl.
Yep, that's all done.
And speaking of, Dominic Purcell has now gone on the record and basically said, yeah, I'm going to honor my contract agreement and I will work through my 7 seasons. But if they try to renew us for another season, I'm out of Legends of Tomorrow. So Mick Rory will be here for this season and then no more.
Well, there we go.
2 other things. April 1st, I'm sure you've already got your calendar marked, but April 1st is the premiere of Law and Order Organized Crime.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing some Elliot Stabler back kicking some ass.
And then I only wrote this one down because it's so bizarre that I just had to. Mm-hmm. Today in unconventional narrator news, Salma Hayek is making a show about a woman whose breasts begin trying to have a conversation with her. Per Deadline, the series, titled A Boob's Life, will center on a 40-year-old woman who suddenly discovers that her breasts can talk to her. The series is based on an upcoming book by Leslie Lair and will be produced by Hayek under her new First Look deal with HBO Max.
All right. Okay. Well, I mean, I'll watch it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a show about fucking boobs.
I like Salma Hayek. I have enjoyed her boobs over the years, especially as a young lad. It's okay.
Yeah. That's all I got for news. So I think that's everything except for the WandaVision.
All right. Well, if you don't want to hear about WandaVision, we'll talk to you later.
Yeah.
Next week. But if you want to hear about WandaVision, buckle up.
Yeah.
So you sent me a message on Friday morning that said, and I was getting my hair cut, then I was trying to get a new phone, and on and on and on. And then we were leaving at noon, and I wasn't sure if I was going to get it in, but you sent me a message. I was like, dude, stay off the internet. You need to watch WandaVision. And I was like, okay, I'm going to check it out. And then a while later, I was like, I don't know if I'm going to be able to. And you're like, when it got over, I said, I literally stood up and was like, whoa.
And I was like out loud three times.
Yeah. Like I really need to try to watch this. So, you know, I get home about 10:30 and, you know, I'm like, oh, I'm going to watch this. I'm going to jump in the shower and then we're going to get going and this will be great. So I get home and I sit down and I watch it. And it was a great episode. You know, it really was a great episode. But the ending, holy cow. I mean, I messaged you. Dude, yeah. I was. I kept waiting for it, kept waiting for it. And I'm like, oh, when's it going to happen? And finally, we're getting near the end of the episode. And you can tell it's the end of the episode. And it's just, holy shit. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. Basically, like, you're waiting for it. You're like, okay. Like you said, it's a good episode. It's enjoyable to watch it. But then that last scene, you're like, oh, fuck you. Really?
Yeah. So it's set in the 1980s.
Yeah. And this particular part of it.
Yeah. Well, okay, yeah, this episode's set in the 1980s. And it's more episode like, okay, the first three episodes, you know, we find out at the end of episode three that Wanda's controlling it. Episode four, we really see that she's controlling it more. We get, you know, the back scene. And I really fucking love that they called that We Interrupt This Program because it was out of context from the other three.
Yep.
And then in this episode, it's like, I mean, how many episodes is this show going to be? Is it only like,
I think it's nine.
Okay. So they're wrapping things up rapidly all of a sudden.
Yes.
Because there's so much gets revealed in this episode as far as like, okay. So the only neighbor we really see is Agnes.
And we see her several times.
We do, but we see her like, okay. So she shows up when the kids are crying and they need help to stop crying. And when Vision doesn't want them there, doesn't want her there, and Agnes is like, huh? And she turns to Wanda and says, are you okay with this? Do you want me to start from the top? And it's almost like she's, you know, oh, we're going to start this scene over again.
Yeah, like Wanda's the director.
Vision, yeah, and Vision sees it, and Wanda's like, what? No, of course we want you to help out. And then Agnes goes right back into character, quote unquote.
Yep.
And Vision sees this. Now he starts to question everything. To the point where, you know, and then he starts to question everything. And then he questions, like, Agnes always seems to show up at the right time. If they're having a fight, someone shows up. So he's got to go from looking like Vision to looking like Vision, who's a human. You know what I mean? Looking yep. human, not like Vision.
Right.
You know, her sons aren't old enough to have a dog that they bring home. Because they go from being babies to five.
Yep.
While Agnes is there and she doesn't notice. You know, Wanda does magic in front of that. Well, Agnes is not looking and Vision's like, what are you doing? You say you were going to do magic in front of people. And she was like, oh, Agnes doesn't care. Basically, Wanda. We get the impression that Wanda doesn't know how she got where she is. But now she understands where she is and she understands that she's controlling it. And now she's not going to let it go.
Right.
See, you know, do you get that feeling as well?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, Agnes shows up with a doghouse when they get a dog, or the boy suddenly aged to 10 years old in front of Agnes and she doesn't seem to notice or care. And Wanda's like, oh, you can't just age automatically, you know, and all kinds of things happen like this. And
yes.
Vision, what was it? Vision's at work. And even the kids question, like, it's Saturday. Like, no, it's not. It's Monday. Well, when's it been Monday? It was just Saturday. Well, your dad needed a distraction. Why did he need a distraction? Did he need a distraction from us? Like, we start dealing with emotional kid stuff. And
yep. And
it seems like Wanda's seemingly losing control. Or she's becoming overwhelmed.
Right.
So S.W.O.R.D. gets the idea to send this drone from the 1980s in because everything they send in converts to the time frame the show's in.
Yep.
So they send a drone in and they just try to talk to her. And then Hayward gives an order to take the shot on Wanda.
Right.
Which, you know, Lucy didn't know about and Jimmy didn't know about because they're trying to help everybody. Because essentially, you know, one of the things they learn from when Vision, they send Vision an email that basically reveals what's going on in the town. And yep. Vision went to one of his coworkers, does his Vision thing, and gets him to like kind of snap out of Wanda's grip. And he starts freaking out, like, where am I? How did I get here? Where's my phone? I got to call my, you know, my family. You know, my dad's sick. I got to know what's going on. It's been so long, et cetera, et cetera. And he's just freaking out, which he should be. So Vision puts him back under Wanda's spell. And he's like, everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a huge scene. The dog dying and the dog base. And then Wanda gets her own very special lesson. Where the kids are like, why can't you just bring the dog back? I mean, you have that power to do that. Why don't you just bring the dog back from dead? And yep. Agnes is like, can you really do that? And Wanda basically has to say, like, no, we can't mess around with things. Something's dead. It's dead.
Right.
And so she kind of has her own, like, go ahead.
It was
sorry.
Very interesting how Agnes was fine with everything else. But then with this, she was like, wait, can you really do that? Almost like she's testing it as well.
Yeah. Yes, that's true. Because she does keep talking about the husband that we've never seen.
Yep.
So they go home. They bury the dog. Sword sends a drone in. And I love how when we're in the WandaVision, it looks like a 1980s sitcom. And then when we're outside, it looks like today's modern sitcom or modern television movie, whatever.
Right.
As far as the scale of the TV show, you know, from 4:3 to widescreen, et cetera, et cetera.
Yep.
And when they send the drone in and to take the shot on Wanda, she gets pissed and she walks out of the static field or the hex. Yeah.
Which is very interesting because, you know, in the comic she had hex powers is what they always call it.
Oh, that's hilarious. So she walks out of the hex with the drone and throws it at Hayward and is like, is this yours? And he's like, yeah. And they basically try to talk to her, and Wanda makes them all point their guns at Hayward, which is hilarious to me, and basically says, you need to leave me alone. And they're like, we can't, Wanda. You're holding all these people hostage. And she's like, what is it? And they're basically like, what is it you want? And she's like, there's nothing you have that you can give me. I have everything I want, and you're going to leave me alone, and you're not going to, you know. And she goes back in through the static, and she puts – like she looks like almost like she reinforces it.
Yes.
Back to the hex.
Yeah, because it glows red.
Yeah. And Vision confronts her about this and talks to her. And he basically calls her out and says, you're controlling this. You're controlling this town. I broke through to one of the people and he's scared and he's worried about his family. And, you know, you can't control everybody. And she's like, and she basically is like, what makes you think I can't? Or you can't control me like you're controlling everybody else. And she says, what makes you think I can't?
Yeah.
And Vision's, because Vision's like, I don't remember anything prior to us coming here. I have no memories. Why is that? Why can't I remember anything? And they square off and levitate in front of each other. And it looks like they're going to come to blows.
Now, it's key that he said that he doesn't remember anything because we had that whole scene with Sword where they showed the security footage of right after Infinity War or Endgame.
Yes.
Of her breaking into a Sword facility and, you know, just tossing everybody aside. And as they said, taking out the corpse of the Vision.
Yes.
So she took his corpse and reanimated him out here in this town.
And they also made the point of saying against his wishes, against Vision's directive of not being reanimated.
Yes. Because Vision already was fearful of himself. You know, he knew, what did they say? The first vibranium synthesoid on the planet.
Yep.
You know, he knew that things, he could easily be turned into a weapon and would never want that kind of thing.
Exactly. So what stops them from fighting? What happens, John?
The doorbell rings and they both kind of come down and Wanda looks at Vision and says, I didn't do that. you know, basically saying, you know, this isn't me. I didn't like set this up. And he's like, well, who is it? And they both kind of like they're stunned. And OK, so she walks over and she opens up the door and we get the camera view from behind the person and it kind of scrolls up and we see, you know,
now, who did you think it was?
I knew who it was. Not from the internet, but I was just like, oh, my God, I know what they're doing. I know what they're doing. But I didn't realize it was going to be that version.
So when they scanned up, if you will, and I'm like, oh, shit, it's Petro.
Yeah.
It's got to be.
So, yeah, they scroll up.
I'm getting a little chills.
Yeah, the camera pans up, and you're like, there's somebody here. Pants and a Hawaiian shirt. I'm like, oh, shit. They brought Pietro. Somehow they brought Pietro. But it's not Pietro. It's not Aaron Taylor Johnson, who played him with Elizabeth Olsen in Avengers Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it, Mike?
Oh, I can't think of his name.
It's Evan Peters.
Evan Peters from Days of Future, from the X-Men film series.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's Quicksilver from the X-Men movies.
Yes, which is really cool because I did a lot of reading on this. So in the X-Men, the only reason why they could get both in both movies, because X-Men said, well, we own the Maximoffs because they're Magneto's kids and this and that. So when we have Elizabeth Olsen and the other
Aaron
guy,
Taylor Johnson,
thank you, playing them in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, in the Avengers movies, if you will, they weren't allowed to be mutants, and they weren't Magneto's children, but they were still Wanda Maximoff and Pietro Maximoff, and they were formed. They got their powers in Avengers from the Mind Stone, didn't they? Yeah.
Yep. But they still had the same powers as the X-Men counterparts.
Exactly. And then they killed Quicksilver. And then in the X-Men films, we never got a Scarlet Witch or a Wanda. We only got...
We saw her in one brief scene during, I think it was First Class, because we meet Quicksilver in First... Don't we? No, Days of Future Past, we meet him. But there's a scene when towards the end where Magneto is kind of holding the president hostage with all the... Sentinels, and we see their living room, and Pietro's sitting there with his little sister in between his legs, and he's kind of like hugging her tight.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But see, they're not twins in that universe.
Right.
And he's called Peter, not Pietro, as well. But he's still Quicksilver. So it's really fucking cool when the camera comes around and he sees him. And he's like, hey, what? You don't have a hug for your brother? And I absolutely loved when Kat Dennings' character, Darcy, said, would she recast Pietro?
Yeah.
Or Pietro, whatever. So I just loved it. But man, that was amazing. I cannot wait to see what they do this Friday. I cannot wait.
I did some reading as well. I liked one theory that basically said, well, you know, Evan Peters technically played Quicksilver during Days of Future Past, which took place in like the 70s. And then he was also in Apocalypse, which was the 80s. And this TV show is taking place in the 80s. So,
there you go.
So who knows? Maybe he'll eventually turn into Aaron Taylor Johnson. But apparently,
I saw a headline where he possibly could be the villain, but I didn't read it. I just read the headline and went, nah, it's garbage.
Right. That's entirely possible. You know, it could be Mephisto, as they've been saying all along, and maybe he was taking on this form to just fuck with people.
Okay, that would make sense. Okay, yeah.
But I guess Randall Flagg and Kat Dennings' characters, they actually had, like, whole backstories for them, and they just didn't have the time to put them in there, and they feel bad about it because, like they said, you know, it's been 8 years since we've seen Kat Dennings' character, and she was originally... going down a different path and then went into the astrophysics field. And she's actually, you know, she makes a big deal out of saying that she's a doctor, and they're like, you know, that's a good moment for fans. It's supposed to be like, yeah, she's been on this journey, but they kind of didn't have time to do all that. So.
Well, I can honestly say I'm a big old fan.
Yes. Yes. of everything. This show is awesome.
And if this one is if this is as good as it is, I mean, I look forward to seeing the rest.
Well, I'm looking at the picture on IMDb for episode 6, and yes, there are 9 episodes. This last one was called On a Very Special Episode. They still have not put the title up of episode 6 yet because they'll wait until the last minute, you know, yep, when it's actually out. But the picture for the next episode is Wanda in the Halloween costume that looks like Scarlet Witch.
Yes, I did see kind of a quick little trailer gimmick for that. Yeah. Oh, in the trailer for it, you see her in that, so yeah.
Makes sense for eventually. And Vision's wearing his classic outfit as a Halloween costume. Nice. Yeah, it was definitely interesting to touch upon what you were saying earlier. You know, Wanda, some of this stuff, she seems to be very calm about. Like you said, you know, she's like, Agnes doesn't notice. She doesn't even notice this. But yep, then there's other stuff that she doesn't seem to be in control of. Some of it she's very in control of. I mean, she definitely marched out of there and told them, you know, I am doing this. I will kill you. Leave me alone. Like, mm-hmm, she's in control. But then you've got this stuff with, like, the boys aging up, and she looks genuinely concerned, like, I didn't do that. How did that happen? Or, you know, when questioned about the reanimation, and Agnes is like, yes, can you do that? And she's like, So, is she as in control as she seems to be, or is there some other force that is pulling the strings?
Oh, Yeah, that's true. Some other force pulling the strings does make sense.
Yeah, because we still don't know what compelled her. Like, there's grief, okay? There's grief, and, you know, you've lost your lover, and you want to bring them back. That's fine. But this seems to be going to such an extreme. And also, why is it like a sitcom? Why is it taking place in these different time periods? Why does it keep jumping? Like, that doesn't make sense. Wouldn't you think that it would just be a utopia? Like, if you were going to do something like that, like, think about Magneto with Genosha.
True.
Find a nice island and take them all there and just friggin'.
Well, Vision does make mention of her, you know, are you just going to, like, he does make mention of her changing the way everything looks.
Yes.
You know, and if she's just going to do that again when it gets tough or whatever, you know, like, he does make mention of it. I just don't have the exact verbatim wording, but he makes mention of, you know, how they're advancing in time or they're changing, you know, they went from the 50s, to 60s, 70s. Now they're in the 80s type of thing. So,
yes,
he does address it a little bit.
Yeah. And he's really, really opening up his eyes. He's really seeing what's going on. And, you know, yes, he's not happy about this.
Oh, my knee. Yeah, no, he's definitely not.
And again, see, I got the impression when he started mouthing at her and he was like, you know, you can't do this, they're in pain. She did say, you know, what makes you think that I can't? But also I got the impression that she wasn't fully understanding the extent to which this was all happening either.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how the story progresses. I know I'm just excited to see what else is this. See, I'd almost be a little disappointed if Evan Peters, you know, showing up as Quicksilver is, you know, that, like you said, you know, Mephisto fucking with him.
Yes.
That would be disappointing. Because this is really a brilliant way to introduce either the multiverse. Because they've talked about introducing the multiverse on this show, and this would be a good way to
introduce. They haven't just talked about it. Remember, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness is the next big movie coming out, and she is going to be starring in it alongside Benedict Cumberbatch.
Right, but what I'm saying is this is a great way to introduce that X-Men cast if they want to bring those actors in, if those, you know, as those characters.
Right.
What happens if all of them don't want to come in? You know what I mean? Like,
right. Hugh Jackman already said no.
Yeah, that's true. But
I want Deadpool to show up on WandaVision.
That would be fun. You know, if Deadpool is the one that was controlling all this and making it happen, it would make sense because that's his mentality.
Right.
As far, you know, childish mentality would make sense.
I after this show, I feel like future ones like Falcon and the Winter Soldier is going to be great, but it's not going to be as exciting because it's going to be straight up like action buddy cop. Sharon yep. Carter looks like she's going to kick some major ass in it, but like mm-hmm. I'm loving the mystery of this and what's going on. I feel like the next shows are just going to like lay it all right out there and be like, this is what's going on exactly. excuse me. Oh, I'm so excited though to see him on there. I'm craving Friday morning so that I can watch the next episode. Like, I need to know what is about to happen.
Yeah, I really need to know myself. Like, I'm very excited. I look forward to it.
I'm going to be avoiding the internet.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Basically, I will wake up Friday morning and turn on my work computer and then just start watching.
Well, I'm going to be recovering from surgery on Friday, so I'm just going to wake up and turn it on.
Oh, so yeah, you're all set.
Yeah, I'm having surgery Wednesday, so that day's pretty much a wash.
Yep.
A Thursday, Friday, I'll just be sitting around with my leg elevated.
Nice.
Yep, I think so.
I mean, not nice in that respect, but...
Oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Hell. All right, well, I guess that's it for me. You have anything more?
Nope, I think that's it.
All right, well, I'm Superstar Mel on the Twitter machine, and you're...
The Quantum Geek, G33K.
That's our show.
We'll talk to you next week-ish. Yeah, next week.
Yeah.